Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. As usual, I'm your host, Jesse Tapia, and for today's show, we're going to talk some NFL, and we're going to talk some college football. We'll go over the games from Sunday, pretty much give scores and stats like we usually do. We'll talk about the Sunday night game and the Monday night game coming up tonight. In the second segment, third up, we'll talk about pretty much what we learned in the NFL. And then last up, we'll talk about college football. But how about Ben McAdoo? He was fired this morning, and I'm going to talk about more about that in the third segment. But, man, actually, yeah, you know what? I'll save my thoughts for Ben McAdoo in the third segment. But it's going to be – I'm going to enjoy what I have to say about him. And I'll actually talk to you guys about why he's in the same boat as Jeff Fisher right now. Probably doesn't deserve a head coaching job again, or at least for a while. But like I said, we'll talk more about that later. But as for these NFL Sunday games, let's get into them right now. Minnesota, they went into Atlanta. Minnesota, once again, is for real. They won that one 14-9. Case Keenum had a great game. He completed 25 out of his 30 passes, had 227 yards, 2 touchdowns. Latavius Murray, 16 carries, 76 yards. Solid game from him. Jerick McKinnon had 9 carries, 24 yards, 5 receptions, and 28 yards for a touchdown. Kyle Rudolph had 4 receptions for 36 yards and a touchdown. Matt Ryan was average. 16 completions out of 29 attempts, 173 yards. Devontae Freeman came back. I think this was the second game back, actually. Yeah. He had 12 carries for 74 yards. Tevin Coleman. What are you doing, Steve Sarkisian? Why are you taking the ball away from Coleman? I get Freeman is your top back, but, I mean, look at how Coleman was playing when Freeman is out. You're really going to just take away from him now and pretty much just kill your team season? But, I mean, what do I know, right? Coleman had 8 carries for 22 yards, and Julio Jones went a solid 2 receptions for 24 yards. If you couldn't tell by sarcasm, I was being sarcastic about that. As for Denver, they went into Miami. Miami blew Denver out of the water. 35-9, Miami won. Trevor Siemian. I didn't realize how bad the Denver's quarterbacks were. Like, I haven't really watched a full game of Denver Broncos football, but geez, Louise, their quarterbacks are awful. Trevor Siemian, 19-41, 200 yards, 3 interceptions. The guy, like, he's so, like, there's nothing else you can say about him. He's just terrible. He's a terrible quarterback, okay? Paxton Lynch, way to draft him in the first round. Elway, that was a good pick, obviously not. And then you have, Brock Osweiler, terrible too. John Elway, for being a good quarterback, like one of the best quarterbacks of all time, top 10, and being a Hall of Famer, the guy cannot pick out quarterback talent to save his life, okay? He had Peyton Manning save him for 5 years, and then when it came down to John Elway actually doing some real front office work and picking out a good quarterback, yeah, he's not good at that at all. Watch him draft the quarterback from Wyoming. The quarterback from Wyoming, I don't think he's going to be good, okay? I think there's more just... He's a project, okay, and Elway's going to take him in the top 10, and watch, it's going to be the same thing, it's going to be like a little carousel, or yeah, is that the right word, carousel, going around circles and circles, yeah, okay, yeah, it's going to be like that, okay, and we're just going to go bad quarterback after bad quarterback until they get rid of Elway, but you know what, let's see if he can fix it, but I doubt it. So yeah, Trevor Siemian, bad, like I said, 200 yards, 3 interceptions. CJ Anderson, 15 carries, 67 yards, 4 receptions, 43 yards. Demaryius Thomas got shut down by Xavier Howard, 2 receptions for 27 yards. And look at Jay Cutler on his revenge game against Denver, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns. You know it's Jay Cutler, so he has to get those 2 interceptions in, and he completed 18 out of his 31 passes. Kenyon Drake is looking better and better as the weeks go by. I know that J.J. trade, they got a fourth rounder for him. Still, on paper, that trade does not look good for Miami, okay? Just because J.J. was thought of as one of the better running backs in the league and they only got a fourth rounder for him. But it really hasn't hurt Miami. I mean, yeah, they're 5-7 right now, but they're not 5-7 because J.J. is on the Eagles. That's not the case at all. They're 5-7 because the offense has just been brutal the entire season. But that's a story for a different day. But like I said, Kenyon Drake had 23 carries, 130 yards, and a touchdown. So yeah, like I said, he's just getting better and better as the weeks go on. Kenny Stills had 5 receptions, 98 yards, and a touchdown. And Jarvis Landry had a decent game, 5 receptions for 62 yards. Detroit went into Baltimore. Detroit, you killed me on this one. I picked you guys and you let me down. Baltimore won this one 44-20. Matt Stafford had 24 completions out of 29 attempts, 292 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He left the game injured too with a hurt hand, I think it was. I'm not sure if it was his throwing hand or his non-throwing hand, but either way, he came out of the game. T'Yon Green, I actually had to search this guy up. Running back for Detroit, had 11 carries, 61 yards, and a touchdown. Theo Riddick had 9 carries, 21 yards, and a touchdown. Marvin Jones Jr., 4 receptions, 90 yards. Golden Tate, 8 receptions, 69 yards. As for Baltimore, Joe Flacco. Look at this guy. Starting to come alive. 23 completions out of 36 attempts, 269 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Honestly, I did not think that Baltimore was going to be putting up 44 in this game. I thought they'd probably put up maybe around 14 to 21 points, around there, yeah. But 44 points was just... Did not expect that at all. Alex Collin had 15 carries for 75 yards, 2 touchdowns, and Mike Wallace had 5 receptions for 116 yards. As for New England, they went into Buffalo and pretty much did what you expect. Buffalo can't handle New England when they're in Buffalo for some reason, but New England won that one 23-3. Tom Brady had 21 completions out of 30 attempts, 258 yards, and an interception. Let me see if he threw a touchdown, because that seems weird for him not to. Actually, yeah, I don't think he did. Yeah, he didn't, because Rex Burkhead had 2 touchdowns. So, yeah, Deion Lewis had 15 carries, 92 yards, and once again, Rex Burkhead had 12 carries, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns. Rob Gronkowski, 9 receptions, 147 yards, and 1 suspension. Just got the update on my phone. He's going to be suspended for the Monday night game against Miami next week. And if you don't know why he's getting suspended, Tom Brady threw that interception, and it looked like Gronk was just really frustrated, and there's no excuse for what he did. It was pretty much a Bush League type play right here. Play's already over. I can't remember exactly who caught the interception, but he's down on the sideline. He catches it. Yeah, he's down. Play's over, okay? Then you see Gronk pretty much just like loading up, getting ready, and then boom, he shoots at the guy's helmet, throws his shoulder into it, and like I said, the play was over. The guy was down, so yeah, it was Bush League play by him, but he's going to be suspended for Monday night against Miami, like I said. Tyrod Taylor went 9 of 18, 65 yards, one interception, and came out of the game injured. Nathan Peterman played better than his last game, 6 of 15, 50 yards, no interceptions. LeSean McCoy had 15 carries for 93 yards, and Buffalo's leading receiver was Zay Jones with 2 receptions for 22 yards. San Francisco, they went into Chicago. They won 15-14, San Francisco, that is. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play great, but he didn't play bad. He went 26-37, 293 yards, one interception. He did lead him down the field in order to help Robbie Gould get into position to kick his game-winning field goal. Well, yeah, Robbie Gould, he beat the Bears, basically. He kicked 5 field goals. Obviously, the 49ers only had 15 points, and Robbie Gould revenge game right there. Carlos Hyde had 17 carries for 54 yards. Marquise Goodwin had 8 receptions for 99 yards. Trent Taylor, 6 receptions, 92 yards. As for Chicago, Mitch Trubisky went 12 of 15, 102 yards, 1 touchdown. Jordan Howard had 13 carries for 38 yards, and Tariq Cohen was their leading receiver. He had 4 receptions for 39 yards. As for Tampa Bay, they went into Green Bay. Green Bay won that one in overtime. This was like, I didn't even realize this game went into overtime either. This is like one of those overtime games where pretty much no one cares or cares to even talk about it. And yeah, Green Bay won 26-20. Jameis Winston, 21 of 32, 270 yards, 2 touchdowns. We're going to talk about him in the third segment, actually, talk about what's keeping him from being a great quarterback. Excuse me, but Peyton Barber had 23 carries, 102 yards, 4 receptions, 41 yards. Cameron Brate, 2 receptions, 39 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Brett Hundley, this guy is brutal. I can't wait till Aaron Rodgers comes back. 13 of 22, 84 yards, 1 interception. Man, those are terrible numbers. Jamal Williams, 21 carries, 113 yards, 1 touchdown. Aaron Jones, the definition of efficiency. 1 carry, 20 yards, 1 touchdown. Davante Adams had 4 receptions for 42 yards. And before I even get into the next game, I know I said Brett Hundley, he's brutal watching him play quarterback. And it's true, he's a terrible quarterback. He's not good. But this guy is doing just enough to where, you know what, they can beat the Browns next week, even with Brett Hundley throwing for 84 yards and a pick. But if they beat the Browns, Aaron Rodgers is back. And we all know how this story ends, okay? They make the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers back. Okay, they win a game in the playoffs, probably win another one. Maybe they're in the AFC Championship with Rodgers back. We're going to see how it all plays out. But watch out for the Packers right now. As for that next game, though, Indianapolis, they went into Jacksonville. We all know how this one went, played out. Even if you didn't watch the game or even know the score, you should already know off the top of your head, yeah, Jacksonville won this game. They won 30-10. Jacoby Brissett, 174 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Frank Gore, 13 carries, 61 yards. T.Y. Hilton had three receptions for 51 yards and a touchdown. Blake Bortles actually had a good game, you guys. 26 completions out of 35 attempts, 309 yards, two touchdowns. Leonard Fournette had 20 carries, 57 yards, and a touchdown. And Marquise Lee, seven receptions, 86 yards, and a touchdown. As for this next game, I called it. I mean, I called a couple of games wrong. I mean, I picked some teams that lost that I thought were going to win, but I feel like this game should pretty much cover all that, so we should pretty much act like I was undefeated for the week. Kansas City, they went into New York, faced off with the Jets. I picked the Jets. The Jets won 38-31. The Chiefs are done, boys and girls. It's over. Give up on them. They're done. No matter what they do, I mean, look at Alex Smith had 366 yards, four touchdowns, and he still couldn't pull out the win. The Chiefs are done. They're done. They're done. One of the greatest collapses ever. Actually, no, I remember, didn't the Broncos 1 year with Kyle Orton start like 8-0 and then finish 8-8? I think something like that, or 9-7, I think. I got to double check that. But yeah, it's not the greatest collapse of all time. I'm over exaggerating. But man, Kansas City, you guys are brutal. Look at that. Just 38-31 to the Jets of all teams. And you know, I saw something too. Alex Smith had one carry for 70 yards. How does Alex Smith take off with the ball and get 70 yards? And second of all, if you're Alex Smith, how do you take off for 70 yards and not get a touchdown out of that? But either way, it doesn't matter. The team lost. Kareem Hunt, once again, just free falling too. Nine carries, 40 yards. Tyreek Hill, six receptions for 185 yards, two touchdowns. Big game out of him. Travis Kelce had four receptions, 94 yards, two touchdowns. Josh McCown, this guy is going to get one of those big money backup quarterback contracts like Matt Moore does right now. Someone after this year is going to sign him to like a 4-3 year deal, $30 million or something like that. Watch, it's going to happen. This guy, Josh McCown, he has it figured out in the NFL. He figured out how to stay in for a while and how to make your money, okay? He's going to get paid after this season, I bet. 331 yards, one touchdown, seven carries, 19 yards, and two rushing touchdowns. Bilal Powell, 18 carries, 48 yards, one touchdown. Javon Curse, nine receptions, 157 yards. Robbie Anderson, another good game, but no touchdown. Eight receptions, 107 yards, excuse me. As for Houston, they went into Tennessee. Tennessee is underwhelming, but they won. They won 24-13. Tom Savage, you know, 365 yards, one touchdown, one interception. You know he's got to stay consistent with those interceptions. Lamar Miller, 15 carries, 56 yards, four receptions, 38 yards. DeAndre Hopkins had eight receptions for 80 yards. Marcus Mariota, 150 yards passing, one touchdown. Derrick Henry looks like he's finally taken over that starting job at the running back position. 11 carries, 109 yards, one touchdown. Delanie Walker, five receptions, 63 yards, and a touchdown. As for Cleveland, I did pick them. They did let me down, but you know what? Josh Gordon made me a happy person. Did well on my fantasy team, and yep, Josh Gordon is back. But let's get into the score real quick. Chargers won that one 19-10. DeShone Kizer had 215 yards, one touchdown, one interception, five carries, 46 yards. DeShone Kizer started off the season really poorly, and Hugh Jackson was doing that thing. Oh, no, you know what? Let's start Kizer. You know what? No, let's start, what's his name? Cody Kessler. And then, you know what? No, let's go back to Kizer. Let's go back to Kessler. Finally, he stuck with Kizer for the rest of the season. And Kizer, as the weeks have gone by, looks like he's starting to play a little bit better. But other than that, Josh Gordon, four receptions, 85 yards. That's not even, like, forget those stats right now. The guy had 11 targets, okay? Obviously, Hugh Jackson has big plans for him, so we're going to see Josh Gordon play even better next week, I feel. But, yeah, like I said, four receptions, 85 yards. And Njoku for the tight end for the Browns had four receptions, 74 yards. I believe he had a touchdown, too. I had to double-check that. But Phillip Rivers had 344 yards, one touchdown. Melvin Gordon, 19 carries, 77 yards. Keenan Allen, 10 receptions, 105 yards, one touchdown. And Hunter Henry, seven receptions, 81 yards. That's such a, like, that's like a, that's a weird name to me. Hunter Henry, I don't know. Carolina, they went into New Orleans. Carolina can't handle the big boys. New Orleans won that one 31-21. Cam Newton, 183 yards through the air, two touchdowns, six carries, 51 yards. Jonathan Stewart was their leading rusher, 11 carries, 45 yards, and Devin Funchess, four receptions for 60 yards and a touchdown. And I just said Carolina can't handle big boys. I'm talking about New Orleans. I still do think that Carolina is going to make the playoffs. I think they're 8-4 still, so Yeah, they'll figure out a way to get him. But Drew Brees, 269 yards, one touchdown. Let's see. Mark Ingram, 14 carries, 85 yards and a touchdown. Alvin Kamara, another big game from him. 9 carries, 60 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 receptions, 66 yards. Michael Thomas, you guys, he finally scored a touchdown. I think he was on like a 6-game streak without a touchdown. But finally, 5 receptions, 70 yards and a touchdown. The Rams went into Arizona, won that one, obviously, 32-16. Jared Goff, 220 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Todd Gurley, 19 carries, 74 yards, 6 receptions, 84 yards. Cooper Kupp, 5 receptions, 68 yards. Blaine Gabbert, 221 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Adrian Peterson sat this game out, so Kerwin Williams comes in, runs the ball 16 times, has 97 yards on the ground. Larry Fitzgerald, the ageless wonder, 10 receptions, 98 yards, and a touchdown. As for the New York Giants, let's see how the Geno Smith experiment worked out. It didn't. They lost 24-17 to the Raiders. Geno Smith, 212 yards, 1 touchdown. You know what? Those numbers really don't sound good, but when you think, oh, it's Geno Smith, the guy didn't throw an interception. That's a great game for him, okay? Did not throw one interception the entire game. So Geno Smith didn't get the win, but you know what? He had a decent Geno Smith game. Orleans Darkwell, 14 carries, 32 yards, 1 touchdown. Evan Ingram, 7 receptions, 99 yards, 1 touchdown. Derek Carr, 287 yards, 1 touchdown. Marshawn Lynch, finally the Raiders are starting to give the ball to Marshawn more. This is what they should have been doing all season. 17 carries, 101 yards, 1 touchdown. DeAndre Washington had a touchdown. And then Cordell Patterson had 4 receptions for 97 yards. As for that Sunday night game between Philadelphia and Seattle, we're going to be talking about that one in the next segment, along with previewing the Monday night game between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. But some things I guess I want to talk about what we learned from Sunday, because obviously I want to talk about that in the third segment. It's gonna be a fun segment. Actually, I'm really looking forward to the third one. I can't wait to talk about Ben McAdoo, talk about Josh Gordon, talk about Jameis Winston. Who else are we gonna talk about? I don't know. We'll figure out some other people to talk about. We'll talk about the Chiefs too. So, but other than that, like I said, next segment, next up, we're gonna talk about Philly and Seattle. Talk about why you shouldn't give up on Philly yet, and obviously not. But there's been some talk about, are they for real? Are they not? And we'll talk about why we got to give them another week. And like I said, we'll preview that Pittsburgh and Cincinnati game. But other than that, that's going to wrap it up for this first segment. So like I said, stay tuned for the next one, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. In that last segment, we recapped all the games from Sunday, except for the Sunday night game, which we're about to do in a few moments. But we talked about the games from Sunday, the morning and afternoon games. Case Keenum is the real deal, at least for this season. After this season, who knows where he's going to end up. But yeah, like I said, he played extremely well against the Falcons. Josh Gordon, he's back, had a really good game. Only caught 4 out of his 11 targets, but they didn't get to watch the entire game, but, I mean, that could do with just DeShone Kizer wasn't able to put the ball on the spot for him. But good to see a guy like that coming back after 3 years, and he's already getting 11 targets. So we'll see how it all ends up for him. The Falcons, they're overrated. Not even overrated. We all know that the Falcons stink, I guess. But, yeah, they're not doing too good. Let's see. Oh, yeah, Ben McAdoo. I can't wait to talk about Ben McAdoo. I'm going to go on such a great rant. Okay, I'm going to talk about – I'm just going to wait, all right? You know what? Never mind about that. But, as for this segment, let's talk about Philly and Seattle. And then after that, we'll talk about Pittsburgh heading into Cincinnati. But Philly, for Sunday night, they went into Seattle. Seattle won that one 24-10. Carson Wentz had 348 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Jay Ajayi, 9 carries, 35 yards. Like, the whole trade hasn't really worked out as well as everyone thought it would so far. I mean, give it time. The guy's came to a new team midseason, so it's probably difficult for him to pick up the playbook, but it's not really looking too good so far. But as for Nelson Aguilar, he had 7 receptions, 141 yards, 1 touchdown. Russell Wilson, 227 yards, 3 touchdowns, 6 carries, 31 yards. Shot himself up to the top for the MVP race. He's with Tom Brady right now. Carson Wentz, after this game, kind of probably brought himself down to third as far as the running goes. But let's see. Mike Davis, 16 carries, 64 yards. And Doug Baldwin, 5 receptions, 84 yards. But let's get into this little scoring recap. So first quarter comes, Blair Walsh kicks a 46-yard field goal, makes it 3-0. Jimmy Graham catches an 11-yard touchdown pass from Russell Wilson, who makes it 10-0. Second quarter comes, Jake Elliott kicks a 26-yard field goal for the Eagles, makes it 10-3. Tyler Lockett, third quarter, 1-yard touchdown pass from Russell Wilson, makes it 17-3 Seattle. Nelson Aguilar, 27-yard touchdown pass from Carson Wentz, which makes it 17-10 Seattle still. And then J.D. McKissic ends the game with a 15-yard touchdown pass from Russell Wilson, which makes it 24-10. Obviously, that's how the game ended, but there's been some talk, okay? Philly's 10-2 right now, and there's been some talk about, you know what, are they what their record says? Okay, and let me go through the schedule right now, okay? Because everyone's saying that they haven't played the toughest schedule, okay? And that's true. It's completely true, okay? The toughest team they played was the Chiefs. They lost to them, and then, let's see, who else? They beat the Panthers, but at the time, the Panthers weren't playing good football. They were kind of in shambles right there, picked it up. And then their third part of this game, I guess you could say, was against Seattle, okay? And they lost that one 24-10, okay? So let's say the Panthers game, the Chiefs, and then Seattle game, okay? That's 3 games against decent teams. I mean, the Chiefs are garbage now, but at the time, they were pretty good. So they're 1-2 against decent teams, okay? And everyone's trying to say, you know what, the Eagles aren't for real. But I don't think this is the game to pretty much make your conclusion on whether or not the Eagles are for real and if their record really shows that's who they are, okay? I still think the Eagles are one of the best teams in the NFC. Minnesota right now, I mean, I think it's between Minnesota and Philly right now for the best team in the NFC. And I'm not trying to say that this game is what brought Philly down. I'm saying Minnesota, their game against Atlanta, and before that is what brought them up. So they finally came up to Philly's level, I feel. So I'm not saying that, like I said, I'm not saying that the Seattle game is what brought Philly down. And now Minnesota's is the best team in the NFC, because it's not true. Philly is still a good football team, I think, but this isn't the right game to judge them off of whether they're for real or not. It's going to come down to next week against in LA against the Rams when Philly plays them. Okay, that game right there, it's going to show us, you know what, Philly lost to Seattle, okay, and beating Seattle at home is not an easy task. That's difficult, okay? Yeah, I get the whole schedule argument. I get that completely, all right? But you know what, you can only play the teams that are put in front of you, okay? And if you're out there beating NFL professional football playing teams, okay, then you know what, you got to be pretty good if to be 10-2 after week 13, all right? I understand that Carson Wentz is in his second year, so people are probably starting to think that, you know what, maybe he's going to fall off. Get that out of your head if you're thinking that, okay, Carson Wentz is not going to do that, okay? Just look at the throws he was making yesterday. They couldn't capitalize, but look at just how he was playing yesterday. He played fine, okay? The whole JGI thing hasn't worked out so far, and Philly just couldn't handle Seattle yesterday, and that's all that is, okay? Like I said, playing in Seattle is tough, and beating Seattle is even tougher, okay, in Seattle. So you know what? Let's pump the brakes right here, okay? Philly's still one of the best teams in the NFC, probably still the best team in the NFC. You could make the argument for Minnesota. I'd probably make the argument for Minnesota right now just because of how well they've been playing. They're on the come-up right now. But this isn't the game to really talk down on the Eagles, okay? It's going to be, like I said, against the Rams. And if the Eagles don't beat the Rams, then you know what? You could worry a little bit about them, okay? Because you know what? You got to start beating these good teams in order to be respected and in order for people to think that you're going to be playing the NFC Championship and possibly a Super Bowl. So, yeah, they really, if the Eagles don't beat the Rams, then you know what? Yeah, turn your head on them a little bit, side eye look a little bit. But if they do beat the Rams, then Philly is fine. And personally, I think that they will beat the Rams, because I do think Philly is still a really good team, but we're just going to see how it all plays out. But yeah, like I said, pump the brakes on the whole, the Eagles aren't a good football team. They played a weak schedule, okay, because that's just a dumb argument right there. I get it. It makes sense logically, but it's the NFL, okay? They're not playing teams like, they're not playing college football teams, all right? These guys are all here for a reason. They're all in the league for a reason. So for Philly to be 10-2 after week 13, that's still good. That's actually great right now, especially with Carson Wentz being in his second year. So pump the brakes on it. Let's see how they do against the Rams. But as for Seattle, they're now, are they 8-4? Let me double check the standings right here. Got it up. Let's see. It's taking a while. Here we go. All right, yeah, so Seattle. They're now in the fifth spot for the wild card, and yeah, they're 8-4. Carolina moved down to the sixth spot. Like I said, I still think Carolina. Honestly, this is how I feel. You know what? This is how it's most likely will finish. But watch out for Green Bay if they beat the Browns, okay? Because Aaron Rodgers is going to be back, and you never bet against Rodgers ever in your life, okay? I think Seattle's going to make the playoffs. New Orleans obviously is going to make the playoffs. The Rams, Philadelphia, and Minnesota. So I think it's going to be between Carolina and Green Bay, okay? Atlanta is terrible. They're not terrible. They're 7-5, but you know what? They're terrible for the talent that they have on their team. It's just, I don't get Atlanta. Detroit, they lost, so they pretty much have to win out and hope Carolina and Seattle drop a couple of games. But the team I'm looking out for right now is Green Bay, okay? If they beat the Browns and they get Rodgers back, I'm going to say they make... I don't even want to jump into conclusions, all right? Just watch out for Green Bay if they beat the Browns and Rodgers comes back the week after. That's all I'm going to say. But as for Seattle, they're 8-4. They're the fifth seed. I mean, a week ago wasn't looking too good because they beat the Niners, but like I said, just wasn't looking too good. They were in the seventh spot, but forgot. Atlanta, they're world-class chokers. So, yeah, we got that. Seattle, actually, next week, they have a tough game. They're going up against Jacksonville in Jacksonville. Believe it or not, the Jaguars are actually favored in this game. When's the last time you saw the Jaguars favored against a solid team? And this is with Blake Bortles playing quarterback. The people in Vegas, they know. Yeah, you know what? Blake Bortles is the quarterback, but we're still going to make Jacksonville the favorites. I might actually have to go place a bet on this, but and pick Seattle to cover. But we'll see how it all plays out. But yeah, Seattle's playing really well. After the Jacksonville, they got the Seahawks, and then they'll play the Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott back. So you know what? The Seahawks really have a tough schedule going forward. They play the Cardinals in Week 17, so that's going to be an easy win for them. But Jacksonville, that's no slouch over team right there. Best defense in the NFL. And a solid offense besides the fact that they got Blake Bortles playing quarterback. And then they got the Rams, really good team right there. And then they got the Cowboys with Zeke back. So we're going to see how it all plays out for the Seahawks. I mean, it's going to be tough for them, but I think they're still going to be able to make the playoffs. But like I said, we'll see. But that's all I got to say about those two teams right there. Again, don't sleep on Philly just yet, okay? Give them another week. If they do lose to the Rams, then that's when you can start to panic about them. But as of right now, Philly's just fine. As for Seattle, like I said, they're probably going to make the playoffs, given with how they've been playing. Russell Wilson's playing like a man with a just playing like Russell Wilson when you need him to play well. It's exactly what it is. I'm not going to use any crazy adjective or anything like that. Just Russell Wilson is playing good football when he needs to be playing good football. But as for this Pittsburgh and Cincinnati game, okay, Pittsburgh, I think I talked a little bit about it in the last game. Didn't really preview it too much. Just made my pick. I picked Pittsburgh. I think they're going to win this one. Not sure if Antonio Brown is going to be playing this game. He missed Friday and Saturday's practices, I believe it was, with a toe injury. It's been said it's a little minor toe injury, but you know what? Mike Tomlin might just keep him out because I still think even without Antonio Brown, the Steelers can beat the Bengals, but we should see how it all plays out. Right now, the Bengals are starting to play decent football. They're 5-6. I think they started off 2-5, I think. But they're starting to pick it up, and they're starting to play well. But either way, it doesn't really matter to me. I don't trust Cincinnati. I don't trust Marvin Lewis. I don't trust Andy Dalton. I do trust A.J. Green, but he's only as good as his quarterback is. Joe Mixon's been playing well, and that defense has been playing well. But it's just Pittsburgh right now. If we're going to treat them like they're a good team, they need to win these games. So I'm going to pick them for this one, okay? Le'Veon Bell, if Antonio Brown doesn't play, he's going to go off for a big game. I really hope Le'Veon does not go off for a big game. I mean, I hope he gets like at least 100 yards, no touchdowns. But it's probably not going to end up that way. I'm only saying that because the guy I'm playing in fantasy football this week's got him. And I really need this win just so I can get into playoffs. But Le'Veon Bell, if you could cool it on the touchdowns this game, that'd be much appreciated. Either way, probably won't happen. But we'll see how it all plays out. But once again, I got Pittsburgh in here. And then let's see, what else should we look out for in this game? There's really not much to say about this game, honestly. I mean, Pittsburgh's one of the best teams in the league right now. One of the best teams in the league. And then Cincinnati, they're a fringe team right now. They're 5-6. They're sort of fighting for a playoff spot, but they're not going to make it, okay? I'm going to say that right now. They're not going to end up in the playoffs. Let me look at their schedule going forward right here. Cincinnati's just, they're lucky to be 5-6 right now, I feel. They're just not a good team. They got the Bears after this, then the Vikings, Detroit, yeah, and Baltimore to finish up. They're not making the playoffs. I will put money on that. Cincinnati, if you're a fan listening to this, you're not making the playoffs, I promise you. But as for Pittsburgh, right now they're 9-2. New England's 10-2. So in order for Pittsburgh to keep with New England, they got to win this one. They'll probably move back up to the number one spot, I believe, because of the tiebreakers. I'm not sure even what the tiebreakers are that consist of how they decide between New England and Pittsburgh being the number one and number two. But either way, if Pittsburgh wins, they'll be number one. And let's see, what's Pittsburgh got going up after this week? They got the Ravens. That's a win right here. I believe. Then they got the Patriots. That's going to be a good game right there. I mean, that's a 1 o'clock game. I don't know why that's not a Sunday night game. Whoever comes with the schedule, what were you thinking? Why are we putting let me check the Sunday night game right there. But yeah, they got the Patriots then, they got the Texans, and then they got the Browns to finish off the season. But let's see. So next week they got the Ravens, and then the week after they got the Patriots. Let's see who's got the Sunday night game. Let's see. Cowboys and Raiders, really? I mean, on paper, I guess, like before the season started, yeah, it sounds like a good game. Actually, no, why would you put the Cowboys and the Raiders on Sunday night? You always got to put Pittsburgh and New England on Sunday night. It's a better game either way, no matter what you thought at the beginning of the season. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, whoever's picking these primetime games is just doing a bad job, I feel. But nonetheless, Pittsburgh's going to win this game against Cincinnati. Like I said, there's not really much to say about it. Pittsburgh's just got the better overall team. They're one of the best teams in the league, and Cincinnati's not going to be able to handle them. It's going to be a blowout, I feel. But we'll see how it all ends up. We'll see if Antonio Brown plays. But like I said, either way, it won't matter because Pittsburgh's going to blow them out. But that's going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, we're going to talk about what we learned from this week in the NFL. And then after that, we'll talk about, in the fourth segment, we'll talk about news and notes going on in football. And we'll talk about the college football playoff rankings. Kind of, I mean, Alabama right now, they got in over Ohio State. I understand why Alabama's in, but I don't like it. But like I said, I'll talk about that later. And next up, we'll talk about Ben McAdoo. We'll talk about Jameis Winston. We'll talk about Josh Gordon. And we'll talk about pretty much anything else that I learned this week. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Football podcast. In that last segment, we talked about the Philadelphia and Seattle game for Sunday night. Philly lost that one 24-10. Once again, they'll pump the brakes on not considering Philly a good Super Bowl contending team, NFC Championship contending team, okay? Because like I said, yeah, they haven't played the hardest schedule, but okay, this isn't the game where you want to judge them off of, okay? It's going to be next week against the Rams. And then after that, we talked about Pittsburgh heading into Cincinnati for the Monday night game. Pittsburgh is going to win that one in a blowout. That's my pick. But as for this one, we're going to talk about Ben McAdoo. We're going to talk about Josh Gordon. We're going to talk about Jameis Winston. And maybe I'll see if we can talk about something else. But let's get into this whole Ben McAdoo situation, right? The guy, he got fired today, which is Monday, and so did Jerry Reese, the GM. And it just... Ben McAdoo is just, his ego was way too big, okay? His ego is what killed him, is what killed his coaching job with the Giants, okay? He did well last season with the Giants in his first year, okay? This year, he had a bunch of injuries, and the team wasn't playing as well, all right? But you know what? Before they benched Eli, I mean, you're probably thinking, you know what? It's his second year. They're not playing well. So you know what? They're probably going to bring him back for the next year, for his third year, and see how he does from there, okay? But when you go out and you bench the team's all-time greatest quarterback in Eli Manning, again, that's up for debate, I guess, because you could think Phil Simms. But, I mean, I'm not going to get into that because it doesn't really matter to me right now. But when you bench Eli Manning, okay, guys won two Super Bowls for you, and then you start Geno Smith after you're pretty much either your job is safe, or, like I said, that ego is just way too big, and you're just in over your shoulders, I think the phrase is, or whatever. But either way, his ego is just, it just killed his head coaching job, okay? I'm going to put him in the same boat as Jeff Fisher, okay? I can't stand Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher's ego, same thing. That's what killed him, all right? Jared Goff, coached by Jeff Fisher last year, looked terrible, okay? The team looked terrible under Jeff. Jeff Fisher's a bad coach. I cannot stand Jeff Fisher, like, just with anything. Jeff Fisher, I just... don't like him at all. Don't think he's a good coach, okay? The only reason why he even lasted that long was because he was able to play. He was able to coach his team in the Super Bowl, and you know what? They even came up short in that one. Okay, they came up a yard short. So I mean, really, you're coaching up a. I just can't stand Jeff Fisher at all. Okay, he's overhyped, been overrated for all of his career. Okay, he can't stand that mustache. Okay, I can't stand anything about Jeff Fisher. Just think he's a Jeff Fisher. Okay, I think he just think he's a bad coach, just all around. Okay, but either way, like I said, last year Jeff Fisher coaching Jared Goff. Did nothing. This year, Jared Goff plays extremely well under McVay, okay? And with McAdoo, his ego, like I said, is just they're the same guy pretty much, okay? They think they can do whatever we want. Look at, dude, Jeff, Ben McAdoo, go look at a picture of Ben McAdoo last year, okay? And he looks like a normal coach or something like that, okay? This year, he's got the hair slicked back. He's wearing the sunglasses. Looks like he belongs on The Sopranos, okay? It's just his ego just took over him completely, and that's what just ended him. And Ben McAdoo, like, I don't think he should be a head coach again going forward. Just why would you want to hire a guy with such an ego like this, okay? It just makes no sense to me. He would have been fine if he would have left Eli out there for the rest of the season. He wouldn't have gotten fired, okay? Yeah, the Giants would have finished with only 2 wins probably, but you know what? He wouldn't have got fired. I'm sure the owner would have gave him a third year for that last chance. Because I know when you hire a coach, you should probably give him around 3 years just to see what he does. And like I said, last year he did fine with the team, okay? They won a bunch of games, okay? Can't remember if they made the playoffs or not. They might have missed out just barely, but yeah, I can't remember exactly. Oh yeah, they lost in that playoff game because I remember Odell went on that boat with a bunch of other guys in that meaningless story. But either way, it's just, and this year, like I said, they only won 2 games so far with McAdoo. And then you go and you bench Eli, like, I can't stand it. And another thing with Jeff Fisher, personally, I think he's the reason why Vince Young's no longer playing in the NFL. Jeff Fisher ruined Vince Young. That's my opinion, but that's what I've always felt. But going back to Ben McAdoo, the dude pretty much, he doesn't deserve to be coaching in the NFL, at least the head coaching job. He'd be an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. I can't remember exactly what he was doing before the Giants. I think he was an offensive coordinator for them, but either way, I mean, his ego is what killed him, okay? Like I said, he looks like he belongs on a Sopranos episode or on the Sopranos show. I know it's canceled, but I'm just saying, just look at it. It's just hilarious. Just look at him from last year, look at him from this year. Just his ego took over. It's like Ben McAdoo, just the evil Ben McAdoo was coaching this year. But either way, he's fired. So is Jerry Reese. It looks like Eli Manning's going to be starting this Sunday. So this whole situation, I mean, this whole Giant season was just like a Brown season pretty much. Just maybe times 10, okay? Because you know what? The Browns haven't won a game so far this season, but I still think that they're less dysfunctional than the Giants right now. Or at least less dysfunctional than the Giants with Ben McAdoo as the coach, okay? Because you know what? The Browns are 0-11, but they're trying, you know? The Browns, they're not that good. They're not good at all, okay? They're not that good. They're just not a good football team at all, okay? But it looks like they sort of have a plan. And the Giants, Ben McAdoo was just like, you know what? I'm Ben McAdoo. I can do whatever I want. I'm a good coach. I won a bunch of games last season. It's Eli's fault. I'm going to bench him. And then I'm going to start Geno Smith. Didn't work out too well for you. The guy probably thinks that it's not even his fault for how bad the team's been playing so far this season. Probably thinks that him being fired is unjust and not fair. But only Ben McAdoo is going to think that. So that's all I got to say about Ben McAdoo right now. Like I said, I put him in the same boat as Jeff Fisher. Can't stand either of them, okay? Ben McAdoo, I didn't always think this way about him, okay? I always thought he was a decent coach, but when you're out here benching Eli Manning and just pretty much letting your ego take over, you don't deserve to be a head coach, okay? He lost the locker room, okay? That's not a secret. And it's just pretty much, the guy's just a bad coach. But either way, that's all I got to say about Ben McAdoo. Like I said, does not deserve to be a head coach anymore going forward. Throw him in a coordinator position. I don't care. But a guy with that kind of ego, you can't have him out there. It's just going to ruin it. And you saw that this season. But let's see. Let's talk about Jameis Winston, okay? So Jameis Winston comes back. He played pretty well. But and they lost in overtime. But the reason why I'm talking about Jameis Winston, the guy is a good quarterback, and he's like right on the brink of being a great quarterback, but the only thing that's holding him back is that he doesn't know when to just take the sack or throw the ball away and just give up on the play. That's his biggest problem, okay? Because Green Bay, they won that game because Jameis Winston just simply couldn't take the sack, okay, and just move on to the next play, okay? He's always trying to make the extra play, always trying to make something out of nothing, and you know what? That's a good trade out of a quarterback, I guess, because he's always trying to just pretty much, like I said, just make something out of nothing and always just put his team in the best position to win. But you know what? You got to pick and choose your battles, and he doesn't do that. He pretty much just picks all of his, like, he just pretty much goes to battle every single time. And you know what? Sometimes you got to take your loss and just move on to the next, like I said, okay? Because on that last play where Green Bay won, Jameis Winston looks like he's about to be sacked, and he's trying to get the ball out somewhere. Dude, the guy's already fallen to the ground. He's still trying to get the ball. Just take the sack, Jameis. Why are you going to throw the ball or at least he fumbled. Yeah, he tries throwing the ball, he fumbles it, and then the defensive lineman picks it up and takes it to the house for the game-winning touchdown. Boom, Lambeau leap. Probably the greatest day of that defensive lineman's life, but it's just Jameis Winston. Learn and pick and choose when – pick and choose your battles. You don't need to win every single one. This is why Jameis Winston is just a good quarterback and not a great one, okay? He just – it's frustrating to see because I love Jameis. I loved him at Florida State. He was my favorite quarterback at Florida State. All those games that he won. I think he only lost two games, I think it was, or I think he only lost one game. He went like 26-1 or 27-1, I think it was. So Jameis Winston, he's so close to being a great quarterback, but he gets in his own way, okay? And you know what? He might end up getting his coach fired at the end of the year because you know what? The Bucs were supposed to be a good playoff team this season, or at least the playoff team. And you know what? Right now, I think they're 4-8 right now. Let me double check it right now. Let me look through it. Let's see Tampa Bay. Let's see. Yeah, they're 4-8 right now. So just really things have not gone to plan, and it's not looking good for Dirk Cutter. I don't even know. But either way, Jameis Winston, pick and choose your battles, please. You're so close to being a great quarterback. But either way, we'll see how it all plays out. But needs to get out of his own way. Another thing that I learned this weekend is that, you know what, Green Bay is going to be a scary team if they beat the Browns next week. I know I talked about it in the first segment a little bit, mentioned it, but you know what, Aaron Rodgers is coming back week 15, I think, and like I said, it's going to take at least 10 wins to get into the playoffs in the NFC. Seattle's got a tough schedule going up, and then let me see Carolina's schedule. And this all, I'll talk about why this all has to do with the Packers right now, but let me see Carolina's schedule right now. They got the Vikings next week. Ooh, that's brutal. You got the Saints and then the Vikings. Well, then you got the Packers. All right, yeah, so you know what? Panthers got the Vikings next week, and then they got the Panthers the week after that, okay? Let me talk about why that's bad for the Panthers now, actually. Okay, because Aaron Rodgers is coming back week 15, and you know what? That week that the Panthers play the Packers, that's week 15. And you know what? When the Packers beat the Browns next week, they're going to be 7-6, okay? And you know what? Another you-know-what, okay? The Panthers are not going to beat the Vikings, I don't think, okay? So that's going to put the Panthers at what? They're 8-4 right now. They'll be 8-5, okay? And then you got the Pack going up against the Packers, who are most likely going to be 7-6, okay? Panthers 8-5, Packers going to be 7-6 when they play, I feel. And then you're going against Aaron Rodgers, and you know what? Another you-know-what? I think the Packers are going to beat the Panthers with Aaron Rodgers, okay? So that's going to be both teams at 8-6. Boom. Packers going to be fighting for that sixth spot already there in the fight right there, okay? And then I think the Packers have a pretty easy schedule going forward, I think. Let me double check this real quick. Their schedule going forward. Okay, so let's say both teams right now are at 8-6 after they play each other. Then the Packers got the Vikings. That's going to be a tough one. Sunday night on NBC, I think it is. And then they got Detroit, okay? Vikings, a great team, but you can never bet against Aaron Rodgers at all, okay? So you know what? The Panthers really need to win this game against the Vikings. Otherwise, they're going to be in big trouble because they got a tough schedule coming up. And if they can't beat the Vikings, then you know what? Against Aaron Rodgers, I don't trust them at all. Even if they beat the Vikings, I still like the Packers against the Panthers just because Aaron Rodgers is going to be back. Aaron Rodgers is probably the best quarterback in the NFL. I know people like to say Tom Brady. Tom Brady is probably the greatest quarterback of all time, one of the greatest. But as of right now, when Aaron Rodgers is out there in this given time, when Aaron Rodgers is out there playing right now, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback. He does everything for them. So, yeah, it's going to be tough to see. But, right now the Packers, they're playing well. If they beat the Browns, they're back, okay? They're gonna make the playoffs, I feel, okay? It's going to be the Panthers. I know I said earlier that the Panthers were going to make the playoffs, but you know what? I just changed my mind. It's what I do. I changed my mind. Seattle, I think, is going to be the team that... Actually, I don't even know who's going to make it, okay? Because all these teams got tough schedules. So, you know, I'm not even going to make predictions for that wild card, for those two wild card spots in the NFC, because I don't even know, okay? It's just difficult to predict with these teams' schedules going forward. But another thing that I learned over this weekend was that, you know what, the Broncos are terrible. Okay, I thought it was just their offense that was bad, but you know what, when you give up 35 points to one of the worst offenses in the league, which is the Miami Dolphins offense, okay, you're not a good football team. Okay, Miami, I mean, they finally ran a decent offense. I know they've been doing that whole run up the middle, doesn't work. Let me throw a couple of screens, doesn't work. Oh, let's punt the ball and keep the defense on the field constantly, that type of offense. But you know what, against the Broncos, they were running actually a competent offense. They were actually running an actual offense, you guys. It was crazy to see. But yeah, like I said, the Broncos are just not a good football team. All three of their quarterbacks are terrible. As for the Lions, I think they're done. They needed to beat the Ravens in this game. I don't think they're going to be able to get past the Packers, the Panthers, or the Seattle Seahawks. Let's see, Jimmy Garoppolo, he might be the guy going forward for the 49ers. Didn't have a great game statistically. I think he did throw for 287 yards, did have a pick, but I like the way he was moving around the pocket, and he's got good vision too. And as for the Chiefs, let's all take a moment of silence for them because they're done. The Chargers are taking over. That's their division now. Let me see the standings right now. The Chiefs still might have the lead in the AFC or the AFC West, or the Chargers might have taken it over. So, yeah, Kansas City. We got a three-way tie in the AFC West. I completely forgot about the Raiders, but I don't think the Raiders are going to win the division, okay? I mean, when you're barely beating Geno Smith, I understand that Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper route, but you still drop 24 points and you still struggled against the Giants with Geno Smith out there. That defense is what's going to hurt them. They have a chance of making the wild card. I think they might. I'm not going to predict it right now. They have a chance, but that defense is what's going to hold them back. So I think that AFC West is going to, it's not even going to come down to Kansas City. It's going to come down to Oakland and the Chargers. Kansas City is garbage. Can't stand them. I gave up on them last week. They play the Raiders next week. That's a loss. And then play the Chargers. That's probably going to be a loss. I don't even think they can beat the Dolphins right now. The Dolphins look like they might have figured something out. We'll see how it goes next week against New England with Gronk out on Monday night in Miami. The thing about the Dolphins, I think they play a lot better at home. Let me see where they've gotten their five wins so far. Let's see if we got a correlation here, okay? So let's see. They beat the Chargers. That was on the road. Lost to the Jets on the road. Lost to the Saints in London. That counts as a home game. I'm not going to count that as a home game. They beat the Titans at home. Beat the Falcons on the road. Beat the Jets at home. And let's see. Lost to the Raiders barely at home. Lost to the Bucks at home. So, yeah, there's no really correlation between it, okay? But you know what? We'll see how it all plays out for them. But as far as I'm talking about Miami, because I just don't think Kansas City really, they're not a good football team. I don't think they're going to beat the Raiders. I don't think they're going to beat the Chargers, okay? And you know what? They might not even beat Miami if Miami seems to have figured out a game plan, okay, on offense. So we'll see how it all plays out. But once again, the Chiefs are bad. Jameis Winston's close to being a great quarterback, but he needs to pick and choose his battles. Green Bay has got a good chance of making the playoffs if they beat the Browns, and Ben McAdoo's ego is what killed him, or at least killed his head coaching career. I mean, I got to be specific about that. But, yeah, it's going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, we're going to talk about college football, the rankings, what I think of them. We'll talk about the conference championship games, give the scores of that, and then we'll talk about Josh Gordon a little bit and pretty much anything else going on in football. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Football podcast. This is the last segment of the show. We're going to talk some college football. We're going to pretty much talk about the rankings. We'll give the scores of the championship games from this past weekend. And then after that, I'll pretty much give my thoughts on the rankings, like I said. And then we'll pretty much talk about anything else going on in football right now, any news, notes, or anything like that. So, but as for that last segment, if you missed it, I went on a nice little rant about Ben McAdoo, talked about how he looks like a guy who belongs in The Sopranos, talked about how he's pretty much in the same boat as Jeff Fisher. I can't stand both of them. Saying the word Jeff Fisher, the name Jeff Fisher, just it frustrates me so much. I don't even want to talk about it, all right? Just go and listen to it. But and we talked about Jameis Winston and how he's pretty much on the verge of being a great quarterback, but he just gets in his own way. Let's see, what else do we talk about? Am I drawing a blank right here? I think I'm drawing a blank. I guess I'm going to have to go back and listen to that segment. But as for this one, like I said, let's just get into the championship games right now. So on Friday, Stanford and USC played at the Levi Stadium. And I always think about going to these games too because the tickets are always so cheap. I don't know why no one ever goes to these Pac-12 championship games. Like, I remember I was checking on StubHub and tickets for this game were like $25 a piece, I think. So I got to start going to these championship games, these Pac-12 championship games, because like I said, it's just really cheap and it's just good. Just a good game to watch, you know? But other than that, USC beat Stanford 31-28. And now we're going to see if Sam Darnold comes out into the draft or if he stays at USC for another year and tries to get better. Personally, I'm not sure what he's going to do. I mean, this year for USC, I mean, he really wasn't what we all expected. We all thought he'd be a better quarterback, like play extremely better. But it's just, I mean, either way, if he does come out, he's going to go top 10 for sure. Top 5 probably, but I'm not sure what he's going to do. I mean, if you stay at USC, you're going to end up like Jake Locker, I feel. So, I mean, just go out and get that money if I'm him. But as for this next game, we had UCF. They played Memphis. This was probably the best championship game of the weekend, if we're being honest here. UCF won this one 62-55. I watched this one. It was a really fun game. And UCF's coach is now heading over to Nebraska, I think. I can't remember his first name. I think Scott Frost. I think his last name is Frost. But I can't remember if it's Robert Frost or Scott Frost. Robert Frost, is that the dude from Frosty the Snowman? So who I'm thinking of right now? I think it's Scott Frost. Let me see if I can find it right here real quick. If I can't, we'll just move on. Let's see. You know what? I'm not going to be able to find it in time, so let's just move on. I think it's Scott Frost. I'm almost positive. I'm pretty sure Robert Frost from Frosty the Snowman. But either way, he's going to Nebraska. As for Oklahoma and TCU, Baker Mayfield and co. blew out TCU 41-17. Let's see Baker Mayfield's stats. He went 15-23, throwing the ball, 243 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, took off with the ball 6 times, had 65 yards. This guy, we had my doubts about him being an NFL quarterback, but you know the guy makes good throws, so you know what, I don't even know really what to think of him right now. He's a great college quarterback, I'll just leave it at that. He's going to win the Heisman, we'll see how he does in the playoff. Maybe I'll come up with my opinion about him in the NFL after that, but as of right now, he's a great college quarterback, okay? That's what I'm going to say. Georgia beat Auburn 28-7. Auburn really had no chance in that one. Boise State beat Fresno State 17-14. Got revenge after that, the week after they lost to Fresno. And then, this one hurt my heart. Clemson won 38-3, beat Miami. Miami just had no chance. And then Ohio State beat Wisconsin 27-21. And Wisconsin, they were losing like 21-3, I think it was, or they were down by like 3 touchdowns, I think it was. Can't remember exactly, but Wisconsin did well to fight back, and they just couldn't finish it. But yeah, Ohio State won that one. And did you notice what team I didn't mention in these championship games? Did you guys notice that? Did you notice one team that was missing? If you didn't, yeah, that team was Alabama. And you know what? Now that's a good pivot onto the college football rankings. Let's get into them. Yeah, so I didn't talk about Alabama, but I did talk about Clemson, who's number one in the college football playoff rankings, who's going to be in it. Oklahoma, talked about them, number two. Georgia, number three. They won their game. And then at number four, instead of Ohio State, you know who we got, who won their game. You know we got? We got a team who didn't even play in their conference championship and played a cakewalk schedule the entire year. I don't care if they play in the SEC, okay? Alabama does not deserve to be in the college football playoff, okay? I understand the reasoning, okay? But I feel like we've all just grown to the fact that, you know what? We've all gotten used to Alabama just pretty much dominating year after year, so we give them a pass. Alabama does not deserve to be in the college football playoff. Ohio State does. Ohio State won their conference championship game. And you know what? I get the argument. Oh, Alabama has one loss. Ohio State has 2 losses. Ohio State lost to Iowa. They lost to Oklahoma. You know what? I get that Iowa loss, all right? I understand it. Oklahoma is the number 2 team in the nation, so it can go either way. All right, they have a higher-powered offense. You know Alabama, who they lost to? Auburn. You know the best team they beat? Mississippi State. It's not even LSU. LSU is not what they used to be, okay? Mississippi State was the best team Alabama beat all season, okay? And you want to know the best team that Ohio State beat? Let's check it right here, okay? Let me double-check it right here. Let's see. The best team Ohio State beat was, Penn State. Let's see what they ended up finishing up ranked right here. Penn State ended up finishing number 9, okay? So, as far as the college football playoff rankings, Ohio State, their best win came against the number 9 team in the nation as of right now. They're number 9, okay? Alabama's best win came against, I guess you could say, LSU, who is number 17. But it's LSU, okay? LSU, like I said, they're not what they used to be. They're not good. LSU is not a good football team. They play in the SEC. That's just about it, all right? So you know what? Ohio State deserves to be in over Alabama, okay? Not only did they beat Penn State, they also beat Michigan State, who's ranked number 16, okay? And you know who is ranked right below Michigan State? LSU, okay? So Ohio State's top 2 wins came against teams who were ranked ahead of what Alabama's best win was, okay? And you know what? It's just, I understand that it's Alabama, okay? And they got, it's just, that's all it is. That's the only reason why they're in the playoff. It's because it's Alabama. We got to get over this whole, Alabama plays in the SEC. Okay, they didn't even play in their SEC championship game. Okay, the best team they played, they got smacked in that game. Okay, they had no chance. There's no reason to have Alabama in this playoff. Okay, I understand why they're in there. Okay, that's why the committee had them ranked at number five the week before this one. And I get why, but you know what? Personally, I think Ohio State needs to be in. Ohio State is the better team. Don't forget that, okay? Ohio State is better than Alabama this season, okay? Yeah, Alabama only has one loss, okay? But like I said, you know what? If Ohio State got to play teams like Mercer and let's see who else. Yeah, they played, Mercer. Oh, wow, great win right there. Tennessee, garbage. Arkansas, not good. Texas A&M, not good. Ole Miss, not good. Vanderbilt, not good. Colorado State, not good. Fresno State, not good. Beat Florida State with their starting quarterback out for that game after he got injured. Tell me, why? Why is Alabama in? Okay, didn't play in their championship game. Okay, we were going to put a two-loss Auburn team in there. I mean, yeah, I know they did beat Georgia and Alabama, but either way, it's two losses. The two-loss argument does not work at all, okay? If you're going to throw a team like – if you were going to have a team like Auburn in there with two losses, then I feel that you know what? Yeah, let's go look at Auburn's schedule right here. If this is going to – I think this will make my argument even stronger, okay? Let's go see who Auburn lost to, okay? Because if they would have won that SEC championship game, they're in the playoff. And, yes, I do understand who they beat, but you know what? Ohio State beat some good teams, too, in Penn State and Michigan State, okay? So let's see. Auburn's first loss, Clemson, okay? Let's see, who else did they lose to? And they lost to LSU. Are you serious, okay? You're going to have a team who lost to – okay, so, yeah, let's go. Right here, okay? So Auburn's loss was against – first loss was against Clemson, top four team. Ohio State's loss against Oklahoma, top four team. And I do agree that, you know what, LSU might be a better team than Iowa, okay? No, they are a better team than Iowa, okay? So that's Auburn's loss right there. But Auburn's ranked number 10. You know what? This isn't actually – is this helping my argument? I might have just backfired. You know what? No, either way, two last teams, okay? LSU's not a great team, okay? Whatsoever. At all. Iowa, not a great team. So they both have teams, losses against teams who aren't that good, okay? And the biggest thing is that Ohio State, they still played in their championship game even with these two losses, okay? If you're going to have a team like Auburn in there, and I understand that they beat the two number one ranked teams at the time, okay? I get that. But you know what? Auburn, the only reason that their two losses still had a chance at playing in the playoff, even with those two losses, is because they're in the SEC. We got to stop this whole SEC is the best conference in the world, okay? Because it's not, all right? It's Alabama. It's Auburn sometimes. They weren't even the best team one of the best teams in the SEC last year. And then Georgia usually plays well, but they'll end up choking it at the end of the season, okay? So you're not, the SEC is just Alabama, okay, consistently. And you know what? You'll have Auburn come around every couple of years looking like one of the better teams. And like I said, Georgia, this is the first year where they finally were able to hold things down and actually make it to the playoff, okay? The Ohio State consistently good. It's just I don't like the fact that Alabama is in there whatsoever, okay? I don't care that it's Alabama. I don't care that they play in the SEC. I don't care that they got one loss. Ohio State is a better team. Give me a two-loss Ohio State team over Alabama any day of the week. Does not matter, okay? I'll take Penn State and Michigan State as my two best wins over LSU being my best win and Auburn being my worst loss, a three-loss team. How about that one? How about that one for the agenda, okay? I know people like to say, oh, they lost to Iowa. Yeah, well, Alabama lost to a three-loss team if we're going to do it like that. But either way, it doesn't matter because this is the Final Four, okay? As for who I think is going to make it into the championship, I think it's going to be Clemson versus Oklahoma. I think Clemson's going to be able to beat Alabama. It's going to be a close one, but I like Clemson in that one. And then Georgia's going to run all over Oklahoma. Don't forget, those Big 12 defenses are terrible, so I like Georgia on that one. But that's all I got to say about that. As for anything else going on in football right now, I know I mentioned earlier Rob Gronkowski, he's going to be suspended. He's going to be suspended for Monday night against Miami for that garbage hit that he had on the Buffalo Bills cornerback. Eli Manning's going back to being the starting quarterback for the Jets. Tyrod Taylor, he has a bruised patellar tendon. Let's see. Aaron Rodgers is going to be coming back week 15, it's looking like. And Josh Gordon, really happy that he's back. Four receptions, 85 yards, had 11 targets. That's probably the biggest thing I was looking at right there is targets. I started him in fantasy football this week. I actually sat Antonio Brown for him in one of my leagues. And I was really curious to see, I wasn't sure what to do about that, okay? Because I was like, you know what, Antonio Brown, he's questionable. I think he will play tonight, which is Monday, in this Monday night game. I think he will play, but I wasn't like too sure. Like, do I take a chance on him, whether or not he plays or not, or did I just throw Josh Gordon out there and hope that he gets a lot of targets? And you know what? It worked out because I won this week in that league, and even with Josh Gordon out there. And like I said, he had 11 targets. So going forward, he's just gonna keep getting into it, getting into field things, gonna keep getting the ball more. So Josh Gordon, happy he's back, hasn't missed a beat. He had one good catch. Really solid catch over one of the, I think it was Williams, the Chargers cornerback. I can't remember if I'm getting that name right or not. But yeah, he had a nice catch over him. And Josh Gordon just looked good on the slant routes and even on his post route. He caught one. He took off for a big game right there. So Josh Gordon's back, and he's been playing extremely well. But like I said, watch that Pittsburgh Steelers and Cincinnati Bengals game tonight. Pittsburgh's going to blow them out, I feel. And they'll go back to being the best team in the AFC. So that's going to wrap it up for today's show, Ashley. And once again, I don't like Alabama being in that number four spot. Ohio State needs to be in there. Okay, I don't care if Alabama's lost one game. I don't care if Ohio State's lost two games. Okay, if you're willing to throw in a two-loss Auburn team who now has three losses, which makes Alabama's loss against them look even worse. It just doesn't make sense to me. But you know what? Everyone loves the SEC, so that's all I got to say about that. But like I said, it's going to wrap it up for today's show. We recapped the Week 13 Sunday games. In the first segment, talked about Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. In the second one, talked about how Ben McAdoo is way over his head in the third one, along with a couple of other things. And I'm sure that you all listened to this segment, too. I talked about why Alabama doesn't deserve to be in the top four, and I talked a bit about Josh Gordon. But like I said, it's going to be it for today's show. Thanks for listening. Once again, this is the GSMC Football Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Tapia, and we'll be back tomorrow. So stay tuned, and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.